And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. Can you hear me, Eric the Tech? Can you hear me? Oh, fantastic. All right, let me just make some adjustments here. Little gremlin's been in my studio. I don't know. So, all right. Let me check my earpiece here. Yeah, just talk amongst yourselves over there. Well, now, I guess I don't have to listen to anything. I can just listen to. Hang on. How's that? Well, that's special. There. There we go. All right, now I can hear. Folks, I want to thank you so much for your patience just now, just today, getting back into the studio. And I want to thank you for everything you've done, every card, every note you sent. I appreciate that. Just to give you a backstory very quickly. I know we're running late as it is. Waiting on Sam Andrews as well, but I'll give you a little backstory. Wednesday, we didn't have a show 2 weeks ago. And everything got twisted around backwards, schedule wise, and we missed Wednesday's show. On Thursday, as I was preparing for the show, I had not been feeling very well. Going up to throughout the week and even sometime before, just not feeling all that great. And Thursday, I started developing just an unbelievable pain in my side and in my stomach. I thought, well, ulcers, ulcers, right? And then, about 10 minutes before, about, no, I'm sorry, about 40 minutes before showtime, as I just had confirmed with Sam Andrews, it felt like I got shot in the abdomen. And I was trying to, I was doing this. I was checking to see if, looking for an entry wound. I mean, the pain was just beyond anything I've ever felt before in my life. So, long story short, I end up in the hospital because I can't even see or think straight. Okay. So they, put me through the tests and all that stuff. And hospital's a lot. Let me tell you something. The hospital is probably the last place you want to go when you're sick. But my wife suggested the vet. Yeah. Well, anyway, so they looked at me and they said, "Oh man, you got something going on in your gallbladder area." Where basically where your gallbladder used to be. And I said, okay, well, handle it then. Next thing I know, I'm getting CAT scanned, sonogrammed, prodded, poked, slapped around. And then, out. And I wake up and I find out that, well, you know what? My gallbladder, which has served me well all these years, decided not to just give up but attempt to escape. And that wasn't fun. And Eric, let me know if I don't want to keep Sam waiting. Okay. But anyway, I didn't want I did the damn thing try to escape, according to the surgeon. So what could have been like an hour or 45 minutes surgery start to finish was multiple hours. And so things kind of went sideways. You know how things go. And then they found some other stuff. Like, you know, they're looking for things wrong. You take your car to a dealership and they look. Nah, I mean, they're looking for stuff. So I have some other stuff going on. So all that said, I want to thank you. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you so much for your prayers, for your notes of support, the cards. You know something? I was just sitting down this past week. Couldn't do much of anything. Seriously. Couldn't do much of anything. And looking at the cards, notes of encouragement, emails, thank you. Just thank you. That means more to me than anything, you know. And the bottom line on this, quite frankly, is I don't know. I do know this. I'm going to have to go back in to take care of the complications that still exist. Okay, so that's probably going to require me, well, not probably, it's going to require me a day or two here or there. Maybe 3 or 4 days. I don't know. And one, I don't know. I don't know. If they can wheel me in, I'll be fine. I'm kidding, of course, but, so just to let you know, that's what happened. My gallbladder exploded. They took it out in pieces. And, I have some issues, I don't want to get too bright. Look, you don't need to know this, but there are some other issues, that again, I got to take care of. So, you know the saying, right? When you're going through hell, you don't stop. You just keep on going, and that's what we're going to do. All right, enough of that. Let me just welcome everyone into the chat. I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining Sam Andrews. And I do have an apology to make to Sam. I got to tell you, man, you know, I thought I could tough it out. And I booked him. And up until the point when I knew I couldn't even string a coherent thought or sentence or, you know, see straight. And then realize, I mean, I gave him like 10, I gave him like an hour and a half notice coming on, and then like a 10 minute notice saying, hey, we can't do this show. So I was half expecting him to drive here and smack me, which he would have every right to do, but he didn't. So. All right, with that is Sam Andrews. I'm so glad because we got so much to talk about. By the way, when you can't do anything, you're kind of like a hostage to, I don't know. I don't want to say a hostage to either the hospital or home. What do you do? Okay. I mean, I went through all of the three Stooges, reruns. And then you guys start watching the real Stooges, right? So that's what I was doing. And I just, I had to, there were times I had to stop throwing stuff at the, I mean, the nurse, they're saying, don't throw stuff at the television. Why are you doing that? Oh, and when I left too, I got tired because I said, I got to go. It's a true story. I said, I have to go. And then just wait. We got to get your, I said, look, I really want to go. Wait. So the nurse went out and I'm waiting. I figured, screw this. So I took my IV out, I hung it up. I forgot to turn it off though. I guess it dripped on the floor and they got a little bit irritated at that. And I got dressed and the best I could. And so I grabbed my bag. I don't know what I look like. And I started walking down the hall and the nurse said, hey, come here. It's like, oh, shoot, man. So I had to walk back. I saw my discharge papers. She gave me my discharge papers. And she said, you know, we have to take you down in a wheelchair. I said, no, I'm walking out of here. Let me tell you something. There's kind of a reason they want to give you a wheelchair. I was kind of regretting that no wheelchair thing. I'm a ride down in the elevator. Because the guy across from me kept staring at me and during the ride down. Of course, I'm all marked up with, you know, marks and anyway. Guy says, you're going to make it. I said, hell yeah, I'm going to make it. Why? He said, you just don't look too good. I said, well, I'm on my way out. I said, I look a hell of a lot better leaving than coming in, let me tell you. So, anyway, I get to the doors and security is saying, they couldn't even formulate a sentence. And I walked out to my wife was waiting out in the car. I opened the door and man, did she's yelling at me. She said, where in the hell, where's the wheelchair? I said, I'm fine. Just give me a cup of coffee and let's go home. So that's my story. But, a little word of advice. If they offer you a wheelchair at the end, maybe take it. All right. With that, Sam Andrews, thank you so very much. And thank you so much for your patience. God bless you for coming on with me today. I really appreciate it. We were going to do this 2 weeks ago, but we didn't get a chance. So now we're going to do it today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. And you look good, by the way.
I feel good. I'm just ornery, which
that's a new. Good thing to be. It's called being an American.
That's right. I'm so sick and tired of all these people who are whining about things and who are saying it's just I don't know. Get off your backsides and take care of business. Let's do that. Let's take care of business. What do you want to talk about tonight, Sam?
Well, we talked a little bit about the oligarchy and the judges last time.
Yeah.
And last week, I think there were four new injunctions that were filed against the Donald Trump administration to stop his actions. And I'd like to remind the world that this hero of mine named Andrew Jackson, when the courts ruled against him, he kind of said, well, you know, good luck enforcing that.
That's right.
And I think that we need a president to do that. You know, people talk about a constitutional crisis, but they're not talking about the actual constitutional crisis. The constitutional crisis are the judiciary which is a co-equal separate branch of government, interfering with the executive branch Article 2 powers granted under the Constitution. And I can't wait for that to stop. And I'm at this point, I'm not really particular about how it does stop. But I would love to see Trump just say, you know, you guys are clowns. You're outside your boundaries. You shouldn't be interfering with my Article 2 powers. I was elected to do this, and I'm doing it. Sorry for your panty waist emotional outburst, but it's outside your realm. You're out of your zip code. So go back to where you belong. Well, I'm okay with that.
Okay. First of all, you know, we had three presidents do this, invoke the Alien and Sedition Act, the four laws that compose that since 1798, right? I think, including
at least three.
Trump. At least three. We had, as you mentioned, Jackson, FDR, and didn't...
Well, Lincoln blew the judges off big time.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Abraham Lincoln.
Okay. Yeah. Lincoln. So, okay.
Wasn't using the Alien and Sedition Act, but he ignored the federal judiciary when they encroached on his power.
Right. I was kind of munging that together, which I apologize for doing that mentally. Okay. So these judicial activists, they're not even judges. They're judicial activists. You've got two now in Wisconsin, one that was charged, not arrested. Well, I guess you could say arrested, but certainly not in detention, but charged. And then you've got a second one saying, well, I'm not going to enforce this either. And then you got the governor of, Jersey, or, well, there's one in Jersey. There's another one in the Midwest. How are we going to handle this? I guess we need to see perp box, don't we?
Well, I think, yes. The short answer is yes, but I think the right way to handle it is to understand the law. See, I have listened to sovereign staters and state troopers who are on the other side of the argument, you know, constantly argue about the law. And I've even had state troopers look at me with disdain on their face and say, you're one of these sovereign staters, aren't you? And I always smile and I say, that may be the most ignorant thing you've ever said in your entire life, because I'm a person who believes that the states delegated powers to the federal government in this document called the Constitution. I also believe they're limited. And if it's not enumerated in the Constitution, it's reserved to the people in the states. So in my worldview, the states have some sovereignty, but they have also ceded some sovereignty to the federal government in the form of the U.S. Constitution and their enumerated powers. So no, by your definition, I'm certainly not a sovereign stater. Right. Maybe you should study law. Study the Constitution, study your state laws and codes, since you happen to claim to be law enforcement. To be law enforcement, you might actually want to understand the laws you're trying to enforce. That's kind of where I'm at. How about you? And they, at that point, they just look at me with a baffled look on their face. They don't know what to say.
I'm in agreement with that. Now, you know, I've seen the sovereign state movement up close and personal. I've seen people involved in that. That's not this. What this is, and correct me though, if I'm wrong from your point of view, what this is just purely constitutional. The state the state's rights, state's responsibilities, and I'm using my words now, not the Constitution's, and the federal government's duties, and even more so our duties. Am I right in this or not?
Well, I think you're at the heart of the matter, because it doesn't matter if you're talking about sovereign staters or you're talking about corrupt federal judges. You're nice to them by calling them activist judges. I call them criminals because that's what they are.
So I'll stipulate. Yep.
But I think the important thing is to understand the law and understand our structure. The rule of law matters. And the law should be consistent with morality. Now, if you read Galatians 5:1, you know, it is for freedom's sake that Christ set us free. We've talked about that verse on one of your shows before. It makes the point that if, in fact, the law does not agree with morality, you're going to be held accountable not to the law, but to doing the moral thing as a Christian. And that's one situation. But I think in a lawful society, in a society that has a functioning structure, and when the law does agree with morality, we have a moral obligation to understand the law and understand our Constitution and understand the Bill of Rights and understand our state statutes and our federal statutes. Now, the fact that I say that the federal government has been granted powers through this document called the Constitution doesn't mean that I sanctioned the abuse of the Commerce Clause or the grotesque abuse of the Supremacy Clause, or Donald Trump stepping outside his executive powers. I don't approve of that. I don't approve of the legislative branch stepping outside of their legislative powers granted under the Constitution. And I sure the hell don't approve of crooked judges pretending to be president of the United States and president of El Salvador all at the same time. I mean, this is grotesque.
How is it possible that one federal judge can usurp the presidential powers, the powers of a president? It was always my understanding that when there was a case brought before a judge, that decision was only binding upon the litigants and not not the entire nation. Isn't that the original way it worked?
But over time and through case precedents and through people ignoring these crooked judges and Woodrow Wilson's attempt to establish a judicial oligarchy to be a check on everyone else, the combination of the precedents cases, the courts granted themselves the authority to declare laws unconstitutional or constitutional and to declare acts of the president or the other branches unconstitutional. Show me in our Constitution where it says the federal judges that, by the way, aren't named in this Constitution, these lower circuit court federal judges weren't created by our Constitution. They were created by an act of law in the Congress, the House and the Senate.
Correct.
Okay, so there is no constitutional authority for these judges created by the legislature to interfere with Article II executive powers. There is none, zero, zilch. And I'm so disappointed because our House of Representatives passed legislation on April 9th to rein these jokers in, and the Senate, just like in Trump's first term, pretend to be Trump's friend, but haven't done a single thing with that bill that's passed the House.
Exactly. Thank you for that. Yes. Where is Speaker Johnson? Where are these people? Where?
Well, Speaker Johnson did the right thing. He got the bill voted on and got it passed. But it's the Senate. You know, our Missouri Senator, Josh Hawley, introduced legislation to rein these judges in.
Okay.
And it has not even come to the floor for a vote.
Where's Thune, then?
Yeah, good question. Mr. Okay. Anti-Trumper from 2016.
So, but even, okay, the reason I brought up Johnson, all of the executive orders that President Trump had had signed, I mean, they should be right now just really printing these off as bills.
As legislation, sure.
As legislation, thank you, yeah.
Sure. You know, the executive has limited legislative powers because of precedent, not necessarily because of legislation. In some cases, it is legislation, things like the Insurrection Act and bills that have been passed by the House and the Senate and signed into law give the president some emergency powers. But the Patriot Act did the same thing. But there are limited emergency powers that the president has. And they are supposed to be short term. They are not supposed to be eternal black letter law as if codified by the House and Senate, unless the House and Senate pass that as legislation, vote on it, and the president signs it into law.
Exactly. Right. Now, I noticed in chat, going back to the, let's go back to the judgeships. By the way, just for those taking notes at home, there are about 1750 roughly judgeships in the U.S. federal court system. Now, including in that number, that's a bloated number, included in that are, of course, the Supreme Court, 9 justices. But then you've got the courts of appeal, which account for about 100 and a little below 200 judges. But the district courts, which are making these decisions, there's 675, 67, something like that. And of course, that number can fluctuate based on retirements, based on appointments, based on pending appointments and all that stuff. So now, okay. I want to toss that factoid out there. All right. Somebody in the chat mentioned something here, and I have to agree with this, and I wanted to get your take on this. Obama, to his credit, I suppose, or I don't know, he deported some 2.5 million illegals during his tenure. Now, I don't know if that's, I believe that's his entire 8 years. And maybe it's more than that, but it's a lot. Have you seen the current number of deportations for President Trump, and why the disparity? What the hell? Why aren't we just rounding these people up and putting them on planes, buses, trains, boats, rafts, I don't know, Tide Pods, do whatever we can and get them the freak out of our country? Why aren't we doing that right now? I mean, with all due respect to Tom Holman, I believe he's doing some marvelous work, but why aren't we doing this? I mean, wholesale numbers. What the hell? Why?
I believe there's two reasons.
Thank you. Go ahead.
One is logistical. Tom Homan does not have the number of people under his command to do that. And the budget has not been passed. and he has not been funded, so he doesn't have the resources to deport people en masse like you and I would prefer that is done in the first 10 days, much less the first 100 days of a presidency, of an honest president. So there's a logistical reason that's holding them back. The other, I believe, is political. I think it's optics. I think the Trump administration wanted initially to be seen as going after the most, prioritizing the most violent and the most damaging to the American people. So instead of going for quantity, they're going for quality. They're looking for the worst of the worst. And those are some of the toughest eggs to crack. They move around. They have resources. They're funded by foreign governments. They're good at going underground. I think they have come up with a new strategy, hitting their party spots. Because all over the United States, there are towns where illegal criminals go and party from midnight till 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. They drink, drugs, they do all these things. And they're starting to raid these facilities now. And it's showing, it's bearing a lot of fruit. And I think that's the right thing to do. But we need to get a budget passed. And we need to get Holman funded fully. And we need to get Pam Bondi funded fully. There are logistical things that happen. Remember what Omar Bradley said. Amateur study tactics, right. Professional study logistics. And the logistics should have been first. We should have been ready to go to pass the spending bill to fund these things. And this whole idea of one big, beautiful bill, Trump has shot himself in the foot with that. There should have been multiple bills funded a little bit at a time and force the Democrats to vote down on each one of these issues. And Trump missed some real opportunities there. But for some odd reason, he wanted one big, beautiful bill, and that's what he's going to get. And eventually these departments that we need to carry out his agenda should be funded. And I would suspect it'll be done before Memorial Day. I think the way things are panning out, they have some things to hash out. It's not going to be easy. But I suspect they'll get a bill passed. One of the biggest barriers to Trump's agenda are the ultra-conservative Christian politicians, the ultra-right wing groups, the conservative groups, because they're not going to want to vote for this spending bill and Trump's agenda because it doesn't cut spending enough. And so the question is, how do we balance that? Because we don't have big enough margins for the conservative caucuses, the conservative groups, to not be team players. Mm-hmm. And if the ultra-conservative Christian right elected decide, well, they're not cutting enough, they're not cutting the right things, and don't play ball, it's going to be a real debacle, and Trump will fail, and his agenda will fail. And so it's going to take more teamwork than we've seen on the Republican side to get Trump's agenda rolling. And like I said, there's a lot of senators still in office that hate Trump, don't want to play ball, and the ones that, like, unlike Mitch McConnell, who's on his way out, the right. ones that hate Trump and that want to run for another term are simply paying lip service to Trump's agenda and have no intention of cooperating with any of this.
Interesting. The blame, where do you put the blame on this? I can't disagree with you at all.
Senator Rand Paul, one of my favorite senators.
Yeah.
One of the guys who's done the best job fighting for freedom, and now we have real opportunities to get rid of corruption and to clean this country up to a large degree. And Rand Paul's not playing ball. Mitch McConnell, right, not playing ball. Mitch McConnell's closest friends in the Senate, not playing ball. So, and you have Thune paying a lot of lip service. Keep in mind, Thune was a never-Trumper in 2016. Thune said all kinds of negative things about Donald Trump, and none of it was right. None of it was true. None of it was correct. In fact, Thune hasn't been right about just about anything. And I'm wondering, how in the hell did he become a bigwig in the U.S. Senate for the Republican Party? That is a fascinating thing to me that I still can't explain.
But this, if we don't make drastic changes, this is going to be politics as usual. This is going to be everything. Yeah, I mean, you know, the same stuff, different day. If we don't make drastic changes, then people don't come on board.
If Trump fails, right, and the Senate fails, I believe the House and Mike Johnson will get the job done. I really do. But if the Senate fails, the Democrats have sweeping wins in the midterm elections, and the pendulum swings the other way with great momentum, and we're back to Trump being impeached and blah, 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 blah.
What can we do? I mean, I've, in my downtime, I've sent emails. I did pen one, well, I typed one letter, a physical letter. But I mean, what can we do at this point to get people on track, get our representatives, our senators on track here and saying, you know, I mean, look, I'm tired of letter writing. I'm tired of sternly worded letters. I'm tired of this crap. We need to see people arrested. We need to see people doing their jobs. We need to see a lot of changes.
How many perp walks have you seen with Cash Patel and the FBI, the crooked FBI?
Thank you. Yes, which was one of the reasons why I got yelled at for throwing stuff at the television. Cash Patel, look, I don't want to hear just because you haven't seen anything, it doesn't mean it's not happening from Bongino. Bongino was the biggest loudmouth on the friggin' planet. Show me some results. Cash Patel, you wrote Government Gangsters. Show me some results, especially from your book. Somebody take that book and shove it squarely up his ass if he's not going to do anything. But for gosh sakes, do something. Same with Bongino, Spygate. Hey, bring in Mary McCord and all those others, you know, Weissman, McCabe. Arrest those bastards. Arrest them all. Do something, for crying out loud. Why aren't we seeing this?
I don't know. And I think it may be partly because the Trump administration has been so busy with immigration and getting the fentanyl problem reined in. And part of it is that logistically we haven't funded Pam Bondi. She doesn't have a full staff. I think that Cash Patel could be suffering from this thing that happens to leadership when they're promoted beyond their point of competence. They want to be liked by the team. You ever known a parent that tries to be their kid's friend instead of their parent?
Yeah. Never works. Sorry. Don't
work. That's a bad strategy. And Cash Patel knows that there's over 1,500 FBI agents involved in crimes. And he hasn't done anything that I know of to arrest any of them. And I'm wondering, What on earth is going on with internal affairs at the FBI, with their own division of professional standards, and who's been appointed? But you know, I would like to see harder questions asked of the Trump staff and the cabinet, because if I had Kash Patel in an interview, I wouldn't be asking the questions that Fox News and Hannity are asking. Right. I'd be asking questions like, when are you going to arrest the crooked FBI agents under your command? When are you going to deal with the crimes that you're aware of? Why is this taking so long? Why have you not opened up or made public the fact that there's a single investigation going on? I mean, I appreciate you arresting the judge that helped the illegal sneak out the side door. That's cool, right? We like that. But that was ICE, okay? Yeah. What about the FBI? When is the FBI going to hold itself accountable? The things that you wrote about, the things that you talked about, the things that you promised in your hearing. When are these things going to happen, Cash? Because the American people put their faith and trust in you, and now they're becoming impatient. So explain to me the timeline.
I'm right there.
When are we going to get hard questions on this stuff? You know, you see the little blonde giving the press conferences, acting all tough and keeping those reporters in line and bringing on new media, you know, from the internet, different types of media, and giving them the first question in the meetings. You see all these things happening. When is somebody going to go to one of those meetings and ask a real question? Like, when is Kash Patel going to arrest the crooked FBI agents?
Amen.
When are we going to arrest the people that kidnapped 1,500 nonviolent Americans for protesting nonviolently at the Capitol on January 6th? When are we going to go after the judges and the prosecutors that hid exculpatory evidence? When are we going to go after the prison guards that took orders to abuse these people? When are we going to arrest the people that destroyed emails and conspired to deny these people their rights under Article 18, Section 242, which all happened to be felonies? And we held these people kidnapped as political prisoners for the better part of 3.5 years with these felonies. That is clearly a denial of rights. There was clearly a conspiracy to do it. And we have a federal law on the books that directly applies and gives us felony level sentences and even punishable by death if there's serious physical injury to the people who violated these Americans' rights. When are we going to handle it, Cash?
We have to hold these people publicly accountable. You know, to me, and I've been in the press office with that room, that briefing room. To me, it's a privilege for having alternative media to be in there. But you are 100% accurate. You know, you need to be asking these questions of the press secretary on behalf of the American people directly to, or through Leavitt to Patel and to, you know, Bondi and others. Look, we need action. We don't need talk. Before I forget, this might be a slightly off topic, but the Secret Service to me, I couldn't believe what I heard and what I saw in my downtime. Chrissy Noem, her purse got lifted from a restaurant in a functional, protected environment. How is that even possible? You heard about that, obviously, right?
I have not heard about that.
Okay.
When did and where did that happen?
Oh man, I don't know. Everything's kind of a blur to me. So this happened in a second. They just caught the moron, some homeless moron. So reportedly now. Okay, I don't believe a lot of the things I read. When did that happen? That was Easter? I don't know. Hang on.
Yeah, I was at the racetrack, so I missed it.
Racetrack. Car or horse?
Superbike. Ducati V4.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Lots of fun.
I'm glad I'm not your insurance agent. All right. Yeah. Okay. So it was Easter Sunday, and she had, I don't know, really like a $3,000 purse. Seriously, I mean, a very expensive purse. And all of her cards, and of course, her cell phone was in this purse. And so this Chilean, a guy from Chile, homeless, supposedly, guy by the name is Mario Bustamante Levia, or Leva, that's his name, walks out with her purse. It was on the back of her chair, or on the bottom of her chair. And
was he an employee, or was he just cruised on by?
Just cruised on by. So, in fact, Gateway Pundit has the story. You can see federal charges were just filed against Gnome purse thief. The surveillance was released of robbery in action. But the fact is this, or the problem I have is with this, because we saw this in Butler. We saw this in Florida, these almost assassinations. And who's, you know, bottom line, who's responsible for protecting the president or people like Kristi Noem? It would be the Secret Service.
Did she have Secret Service protection when this happened?
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely she did.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And this 49-year-old illegal, by the way, and that's even better, an illegal in this country. Folks, did you hear people in the chat? You heard about this, right? Obviously, you know more about this than probably we do. But look, so this guy goes in, grabs the purse, puts his coat over the purse, and walks out. And you know, she meanwhile, Gnome is dining with her children and her grandchildren.
She in the bathroom?
No, she was sitting right there. She said, "Oh, I thought it was one of my kids or grandkids, you know, touching my leg or kicking my leg." The guy just smooth as anything. It's not his first time, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He's a serial quote a serial offender. Who's been in this country for years. Okay, now see, I see a lot of problems here. The same thing that we had with under Biden. It's not being fixed, not being repaired. The same idiots. I cannot, if you were in charge of that watch, I and this happened under your watch, under your leadership.
Not going to happen.
I wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't
not
believe
gonna
it.
Happen.
No. No.
Not going to happen, because there are assignments, and if you need to get distracted or vacate your assignment, you call someone in to watch your sector while you do what you got to do. And right. That's just a fundamental discipline. We don't leave holes. We don't leave gaps. We don't leave openings. And when you do personal 45 protection,
caliber holes, but that's a separate thing. But go on.
Yes. Well, I guess I'm a little surprised that you're surprised, Because when you look at the driving habits and the way people have gotten aggressive and crazy and pulling out in front of vehicles that are going 50, 60 miles an hour and making people slam on their brakes and driving around like they're not aware of anything, you look at all of this stuff going on and the fact that what percentage of Americans were told, if you don't take the shot, you'll lose your job, and they bought that BS? I mean, we have a big problem in this country because of public education, because of mental illness, because of the clot shot and the DNA modifying that's an RNA modifying that's been going on. There is a lot of issues and mental health. The lack of mental health of Americans is one of the best kept secrets in America.
All you have to do is cruise along social media, Sam, and you see how some of these people are behaving. Some people in America are behaving. We have a mental health crisis, but we also have a cultural crisis, and that the really at the base of all this is the spiritual crisis.
Well, there you go. See, that's how I look at it. I see what's going on in America. We have an education crisis, a mental health crisis, and a moral framework spiritual crisis all intersecting at the same moment in time.
We do.
And so you only have about 30%, maybe 25% of the population that can think normally, think logically, do problem solving. You know, the normal things that every man did when I was 10 years old. My grandfathers, my uncles, my father, they were engineers, they were inventors, they were mathematicians, they were people that solved problems. Every man did that. You were expected as a little boy, and they told you, you will understand how everything works. By the way, son, do you know how a magnetic particle clutch works? No, Uncle Dave. Well, come here. I have one on the bench. I'm going to show you how it works. It's a part, and I can explain it to you. But that's the world I grew up in the 50s and 60s.
Sure.
And now we have little boys that know how to play with their phones, and the only blisters they've ever gotten are on the tips of their thumbs. And
exactly.
They are literally a female with the facade of a male for a body, almost, except when you look at them, you realize they're not male. They can't pick up 400 pounds. They can't bench press 250 pounds. They can't run a mile with a rucksack on their back and a rifle in their hand. They're not men. They're just a facade of a man with a female persona. Estrogen levels through the roof, cortisol levels through the roof, and when you have that happen chemically, your body can't even absorb the testosterone that it makes. And you can see it on their faces. You don't even have to look at their bodies. You can see it on their faces.
Well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was talking about, what is it? Young teenage boys have 60 or 68% less testosterone than the previous generation.
Yes.
At that age.
Yes. And why is that? It's for a whole host of reasons. mRNA modification, soy products, there's a whole cortisol levels. And so all of these things play a factor. And let me tell you something. Body chemistry is body behavior. If you don't have functioning testosterone, if you're not making and absorbing testosterone, you're not going to act like a man. I have seen the tests. I have been part of the at Central Intelligence. We did some tests, some very interesting tests. We created a matrix. We took men with high testosterone levels, high cortisol levels. high testosterone, low cortisol levels, low testosterone, high cortisol levels, low testosterone, high cortisol levels, high estrogen levels. You get the idea. We did wow. high and low yeah. with three different strong body chemistry and behavior influencing factors. And when we took these people, when we had more than a statistical significant sample size of each type of body chemistry, and when we attack them and aggress them, you would have thought of the nine different groups with various levels of testosterone, cortisol, and estrogen. These are all men.
Right.
You'd have thought that some of them would have fought back when, in fact, eight of them did not respond aggressively to the attack, eight out of nine. And I was like, holy wow. crap. That was like an awakening for me as a young man. And if you wonder why very few people run to the sound of gunshots, most people run away, grown men. That's right. exactly why. And it was to a man, the only people that responded aggressively to an attack and act like a man, literally, were the men that had normal to high testosterone, low cortisol, and low estrogen levels. That was the only group. The other eight were basically functioned as women.
Okay, now for the people who have, for the people who are listening to this, and generally speaking, we have an older demographic for this show. So if you've got children and grandchildren, how do you reverse that? What's the best
way? That's a great question. Yeah, you can do it.
It's
eminently doable. Right. You get all the soy products out of their diet.
Okay.
You get all of the dairy products that are A1 out of the diet. You can do cow stuff if it's A2 cows.
What does that mean?
So there's a genetic modification that happened to most American cows. And they produce a protein that's labeled as A1. And the European Jersey type cow didn't have this DNA modification, whatever you want to call it. And they produce protein that's A2. Just so happens that A1 wreaks havoc in the human body, and A2 does not. And we have companies like in Oklahoma called Brahms, and they sell A2 milk and A2 cheese and A2 cream. And there are dairy farmers and people around at Whole Foods. You can buy A2 dairy products. They're labeled as such, organic A2 milk and cheese. And so even goat cheese is a better option. The problem with dairy, though, is that it has the body treats milk, even goat's milk, like sugar.
Right.
And sugar causes cancer.
It does.
And I want to talk about that because if you want to lower your estrogen level, lower your cortisol level, there's a product you can take called ashwagandha. It's incredibly effective at lowering the cortisol levels in your body, which is very important if you're male. If you're a male, you should be taking ashwagandha twice a day. Because if you reduce your stress and take ashwagandha, your cortisol levels will drop enormously. Because most men actually make a reasonable amount of testosterone. The problem is their estrogen levels are so high and their cortisol levels are so high that it blocks their own cells from using the testosterone they make. That's a big deal to understand that.
Okay.
So if you want your grandchildren, and if you're an older person, get off the soy sauce, get off the tofu, get off anything that has soy in it. And I'm telling you, my wife and I, you're going to laugh at this. We spent 15 minutes one day in a grocery store reading the fine print on tuna cans. Because of the 18 types of tuna that were in the store, 16 of them had soy in them. And we finally found a particular brand of tuna that was just water and tuna and a little bit of salt. And so if you're willing to do the homework, if you're willing to read the fine print on the label of the things you eat, you can dramatically improve your cortisol testosterone issues. And that is no small thing. The other thing, doing things like squats, resistance training with your legs, ups your testosterone level.
Exactly.
A healthy libido actually helps your testosterone level as well. But it doesn't matter how much testosterone you make if your cortisol levels are high, because your body won't use it.
Very good point. Okay. And folks, again, this can be turned, all of this can be turned around. And you just have to, like, listen to what Sam's saying. This is the way. And that has a tremendous, in my view, mental impact on people, the testosterone.
You know, it's an interesting thing, but I've told a number of my close friends that building these incredible custom rifles has saved my life.
How so?
They imagine me defending myself with a gun or something like that, but that's not the way it's worked for me personally. Building these incredible custom rifles, I have about 70 doctors that are customers because they can afford to buy them. These long-range elk hunters, these guys that are into the sport of long-range precision shooting, that are doctors, can afford this. And so a number of those men have become my friends. And so I have had this incredible range of every imaginable type of doctor, from plastic surgeons to oncologists to, I've had this range of doctors that I've been able to have deep conversations with about health, including functional health doctors and chiropractors, which, by the way, have been probably the most useful to my health. One guy in particular named Jeremy Schermeyer. And Jeremy is a doctor, a functional health doctor in St. Charles, one of the most brilliant guys that I've ever met. And he has several different types of medical degrees. He's a really interesting guy and super intelligent. And I was having trouble a year and a half ago with the stress from the divorce of my second wife, and I was having heart issues. I had calcium built up on the walls of my heart. I had calcium on my gallbladder. I had calcium in my lower left coronary artery, which is the one they call the widowmaker.
Oh,
kills guys, right? And
yeah.
People so say, well, how'd you know? And I had a special CAT scan that reads the calcium and scores these different areas of your anatomy, different parts of your heart, different arteries. Well, I asked the question, is there anything I can do to get the calcium out? Most of the doctors, including two cardiologists that I knew, said, no, there's nothing you can do. You're screwed.
Pretty.
I had my...
That
my
strikes home. Okay.
My son's wife, right? And she says to me, my son's wife is a doctor, and she says to me, well, I've heard about Barnes. They're using some technology similar to what they did to break up kidney stones to bust up the calcium, you know, in your major arteries, and they're experimenting with this. And I'm like, really cool, but where does the calcium go when they bust it up?
Like to your brain? And like,
she said, I don't know, but I just wanted you to know about that technology as an option. You know, you go see one of these guys. And before I went to see one of those guys, Jeremy called me and he said, I heard about your issue. So I've been doing some research and I found some research papers out of Europe and a combination of nattokinase, MK7, K2, bromelain, and pantothenic acid with high doses of vitamin C and a product called magnesium glycinate will, over a period of months, leach the calcium out of the inside of your arteries and your heart. And I was like, you're serious. He goes, I'm totally serious. I'm sending you all of these things in the mail today. And he shipped them to me for free.
Okay.
I love this guy. He is a
What's his number?
True friend.
He is a true friend.
And so here's the backstory. About 2 months ago, I went to visit my cardiologist in St. Louis. And they did this echo thing with you on the treadmill and your heart beating 160 beats a minute. You know, they take the treadmill and they make it like 45 degrees and they tell you to haul butt until your heart rate gets up to 160. And then they video your heart beating and the computer measures the flow velocities of the blood in your major arteries and watches the valves in real time dynamically.
Right. Yep. It is some neat stuff, right?
Well,
no, there's nothing neat about that, but go on. Okay.
I'm sitting there. Yeah, I was tired. I was breathing hard. But after the results, I'm sitting in this cardiologist's office. He had seen me before. He's the one that ordered the CAT scan to read the calcium and look at the blockages, right? And so this is about 6 months later, 7 months later, and I'm sitting in his office, and he comes in, and he has a solemn look on his face. He says, what have you been doing? I said, just waiting for you, doc. And he said, no, for the last 6 months, what have you been doing? I said, well, I've been exercising and I've been, trying to take better care of myself. And he said, come on, man. I said, why? What's going on? Is something wrong? He goes, no, your arteries are clear, your valves are working perfectly, and your blood flow is at 100% full velocity, full flow. What have you been doing for that? Are you eating different? Are you taking supplements? What are you doing? Wow. And I explained to him what Jeremy had taught me. He said, well, keep doing it. It worked.
So okay. For the people interested in this at home, because somebody's going to benefit from this. And hey, I'm going to benefit from this. Okay. So here's what I got from you. Vitamin C and antifreeze. No.
Okay. So ashwagandha.
Ashwagandha.
ASHWAGANDA. It's a plant in Africa. And that's what lowers your cortisol levels.
All right. So
if you want to lower your cortisol levels, that's a great thing to do. But if you want to talk about heart, I'll give you the list.
Okay, but ashwagandha is part of that list, right?
Well, it's good for men, right?
Oh, okay.
It also, if you take it with magnesium glycinate in the evening, about 2 hours before bed, you sleep like a baby and you go into stage 4 dream sleep. Works way better than any of the pharmaceutical dream, sleep enhancers, let's say. So
I never had a problem sleeping, but okay. So magnesium glycinate.
Yeah, that's the type of magnesium you want to take.
All right.
And
ashwagandha.
Before I give you the list on the heart stuff, and cardiovascular stuff, I want to say that the right way to do this is to get a full blood workup and find out what your body is deficient of and stop taking these multiple vitamins, multi-this, multi-that supplement. When I order stuff, I order it from places like microingredients.com, and I get just the K2 in the form I want, in the dosage I want. Just that.
All right.
Because when I started taking supplements originally, I noticed a guy wanted me taking a B vitamin, and he wanted me taking this, that, and the other, and they had other things in them, and then there was overlap, and then I was taking too much of something that the doctor wasn't even aware of. The doctors will not manage the overlap. They'll just find a product that has what they want to give you based on the blood workup and screw looking at the overlap. And so don't fall in that trap, okay? If you get a full blood workup, find out what you need and take only that in the proper dosage. And I got something for women, too. I'm not just going to just give you the ashwagandha thing for the men. I'm going to give you something for women that are iron deficient because this is earth-shaking. But let's talk about the heart.
Please.
Cardiovascular and the heart. So what I've learned in studying this because of my own issues, and I didn't sleep through microbiology. I'm a physics guy, but I paid attention in chemistry. I paid attention in microbiology in my other biology classes. So this is not hard for me to understand. But if you want to talk about health, it all boils down to the mitochondria. What you're really talking about when you talk about a healthy body is mitochondrial health at the cellular level. And there are four things that need to be in balance. There is salt, or what we call sodium. There is magnesium. They're on the same side of a wall in the cell structure. And then on the outside, you have calcium and potassium. And if those four things are in balance, then the mitochondria can do its thing. If they're not in balance, then we have all sorts of problems. My problem was that I was magnesium deficient and I was K2 deficient. Now, magnesium and K2 function in the blood system in the cellular level like a truck and a butler. So one of them carries the calcium in your blood, attaches to it, and trucks it up to the cell. And the other one acts like a butler and opens the door so that the calcium can be put in your bones and your teeth and the places where it needs to go in your body instead of sticking to the walls of your heart and your arteries. So the heart has problems because of malnutrition. If you're eating the right things, and I'm going to give you the list of things you need for a healthy heart.
All right.
You need something called D-ribose. You need vitamin D and vitamin C in the proper quantities. You need a special type of K vitamin called Mark 7 K2. So there's K1 and there's two types of K2. You need the Mark 7 K2 vitamin, 200 milligrams a day. You need magnesium glycinate, okay, and you need things like L-citrulline. And along with vitamin C and vitamin D and pantothenic acid and bromelain and nattokinase and these other things, your heart will repair itself. Your arteries will clean themselves. Things will start to flow better. And like when I talked to my cardiologist after he asked me what I've been doing and we talked about it, and I said, so I'm cleared to go racing. And he said, 100%, man, you can do anything you want to do. I said, well, that's great news because I feel great and I really want to go ride a superbike this summer. And I mean, when you look at the thoughts that I was having 2 years ago, with my heart skipping beats, my artery clogged with calcium, the lower left coronary artery, lower anterior artery, and all of the issues that I was having in the way I felt, I thought, man, I'm at the end of life. My heart's going to give up the ghost anytime now. And it has completely changed my life for the better.
And how, tell me again how long that was, because
6-7 months of on the right stuff and exercising properly.
Yeah.
You know?
Got to throw that exercise in there, don't you?
Little weight training, getting the heart rate up 3-4 times a week is not a bad thing.
No,
and of course, you start slow. You let your doctor, you get with a physical therapist or a professional trainer, and you take it easy, and you give yourself a couple months to kind of walk into the process of being healthy. But what I have learned is that for me, being a type 2 diabetic, that I had to get all the sugar out of my diet.
Yep.
Okay. And I had to get my ketones up. So I was, before I got healthy, I was trying to manage my life by looking at what the little glucose meter told me. Okay. That was an utter failure. There was a doctor, she's got stuff on YouTube and other things, named Dr. Boz, who wrote a couple books about the keto diet. And I eat sort of a modified keto diet. And what she talked about was the process of using a ratio of what the glucose meter told you and what a ketone meter told you. I didn't even know ketone meters existed.
Yeah, but it's the first time I'm hearing about it. Go ahead. Yeah.
You can prick your finger one time with a drop of blood, have your ketone meter set up. It looks just like your glucose meter. Make sure you put the right strips in the right machine, right? And get them both set up. Prick your finger one time, check your glucose level, check your ketone meter, and then you have your ratio if you could do simple division. Okay. And so I was told forever that I need to get my blood sugar under 120. Dr. Boz says BS on that. If you want to be healthy and you want your body to self-heal, you need to keep your glucose under 80, and you need to keep your ketone levels over 1.5 to 2.
Okay.
And that took some work. That wasn't easy, but I read her book, and I followed her advice, and it worked. And so the combination of learning to manage my diet by a ratio of ketone to glucose and by taking the proper things so that my heart was properly nourished, my heart has gotten stronger. The calcium has come out of my system and gone to the right places, not the wrong places. And I feel like I did when I was 38 years old. And that is no joke, Doug.
Wow. Okay, so the bottom line here. You're talking about Mark 7, K2 as one vitamin.
Natokinase is another one.
Natokinase. What the hell is that? I mean,
N-A-T-T.
All right.
N-A-T-T-O. K-I-N-A-S-E, and I would suggest that you look for a version that doesn't have soy. Because most natokinase is made from soy, but there are labs out there that produce high-quality natokinase that is not made from soy, and that's the one that I used, and that's the one that worked.
All right.
So as you look through these things, supplements, diets, this and that, you got to be careful about dosage. You got to be careful about eating things that don't have sugar. Read every label. Like I screwed up. I was doing pretty good with my blood sugar, and then all of a sudden it skyrocketed, and I felt like crap. My wife had switched from coconut milk to goat's milk. And she said, well, goat's milk is really healthy. I've been reading about it all. The problem was the goat's milk had 11 grams of sugar in 8 ounces.
No, hold on a second. Okay.
I didn't read the label.
Okay. Now, folks, you might think this is boring, okay? But seriously, I've always said we need to take care of ourselves because we have a fight ahead.
Yes.
I've told a lot of people, I said, I ain't dying in the hospital, but I'm going to tell you that right now. So, or in a recliner.
Exactly. If you want to be an American, if you want to be a patriotic American, You have to be capable of resisting evil.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the structure for influencing people? It's need, plan, advantages. That's the fundamentals of persuasive communication. Most persuasion fails, and we haven't really talked about need, but if you want to be able to teach your grandchildren, have patriotic children and grandchildren, be able to resist evil, you've got to have a threshold level of health.
Yes, you do. I've found that up close and personal. By the way, I got to ask you. You said coconut milk. Is coconut water the same thing as coconut milk?
No. No, it is not.
Is coconut water good? Bad?
As long as it doesn't have sugar in it, it's fine. Coconut has a number of things called medium-chain triglycerides. And those, the only thing your liver can do with a medium-chain triglyceride is make a ketone out of it. And that's a really good thing if you want to self-heal and be healthy.
Right.
Because you need ketones. You need polyphenols and you need ketones. If you have those things in your diet and your blood sugar is not a whack, your body will heal itself.
Okay.
And that's a really interesting thing to understand. I didn't believe it when I first heard it, but I can tell you from my own experience that it actually works.
Okay.
It's fascinating.
Fantastic. And for those folks who want, folks, we're not selling anything here. We're having a discussion because, and it's pretty relevant. I got to tell you right now, when you're facing some stuff and you're looking at, the Sam, I mean, is Widowmaker, kind of closing up on him and, where have I heard that before? Okay. So,
cardiovascular disease is not rare. I'm not the only one that had it. There's probably 100 million American men out there that have issues.
Oh, yeah.
And to understand that you don't have to have those issues is a big deal to me.
And folks, let me tell you something. The arteries go to some pretty important organs. And when they get clogged up, too, not just the heart. I mean,
And I could tell this to this applies to everyone, not just men. But if you're overweight, understanding a keto diet where you have medium chain triglycerides ingested an hour before every meal, the weight will naturally fall off of you.
Now, I have heard that.
That is a fact. When I met my wife, she weighed 265 pounds. First date, and she'll probably get mad at me if I say this on the air, but she asked me after a date, when will I see you again? And I said, well, I don't think we're compatible.
Oh, man, yeah, okay.
Compatible, right? That's what I said. And she said, why not, right? Man, it's a great story.
You're going to get hate mail.
You get in line.
You're going to get hate mail.
And it wasn't just the self-care issue. There were some other issues, and I mentioned three things. One of them was the self-care, and she cried. And I cried because I felt bad and I didn't want to hurt her feelings. And I told her, I said, we can be friends. I'm not saying we can't see each other or talk to each other. I said, I'm perfectly happy being your friend. I just don't think we're compatible. And I said, but you need to take better care of yourself. She said, I don't know how. So I said, well, get Gundry's book, The Plant Paradox, and follow it to the letter. And she texted me a picture the next day of her holding Gundry's book, The Plant Paradox. She went and bought one. Okay. And she started following that diet, exercising four times a week. And about 4 or 5 months later, she called me and said, I don't think you gave me a fair shake. And I said, what do you mean? She says, well, I think you should give me another chance. I think we should date. And I said, well, why is that? And then she texts me a picture of her, and she now weighs 180 pounds. She's lost almost 80 pounds. And I said, holy cow, that's impressive. Have you been starving yourself? She says, I've been working really hard at this. And I said, that's amazing. I'm impressed. And she said, well, I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to get in good shape again. I was always in good shape. I played softball in high school and basketball, and I'm tired of being overweight. And you were right. And I appreciate you explaining to me how to do all this. And I said, okay. And she said, but you need to give me another chance. We should go out again sometime. And to make a long story short, I said, I think that's fine. And we dated that weekend, and we've been together ever since.
Well, that's a happy ending.
We got married.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get any happier than that, right?
No.
And she's been a huge blessing on my life. She actually found a cancer behind my ear and saved my life.
Okay.
I would have never found it. If I'd have been single, I'd have never seen it. Never gone to the doctor. I don't go to doctors. You know, I try not to go to doctors, but.
Yeah, me too.
And she actually saved my life. And I think I probably saved her. She probably would have died of a heart attack or stroke in the next 4 or 5 years if I hadn't criticized her in the way that I did and said, shame on you for not taking care of yourself.
Well, okay. I mean, all right. People might look at that and say, well, that's pretty superficial. But the bottom line is really not. It goes to the core of what we're talking about here.
It wasn't the only reason, you know.
Well,
it wasn't the only reason. There were other reasons. But and I don't need to get into it here.
No.
But the fact is that she was a public education gal. She was the special education administrator of the year in Oklahoma in 2023. Wonderful gal, heart for children, sweetest woman you'll ever meet. And I mean, she had a lot of strengths. But I said, you know, you grew up in public education, you're not entrepreneurial. That was one of my reasons. I was looking for a woman who had a more entrepreneurial spirit. Well, when we got back together, she told me about her consulting company. She never told me about that. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me? You had a business and you were entrepreneurial. She said, well, I didn't want to date a guy that was looking for a sugar mama. And I said, honey, I don't need your money. You should have told me the truth.
Okay.
But, you know, all these things came to light over time.
Right.
And, right. You know, it's always a good idea to take your time when you're dating someone. And we did. And we figured out that we were made for each other. It was a wonderful relationship.
Well, that's good. I mean... Seriously, no, that's to me, that's very good.
But she has been, I mention her because she has been instrumental in helping me research these things and instrumental in finding products. Like, I couldn't find natokinase that didn't have soy in it. She found it, right? She's been doing things like that my health has benefited from enormously with her ability to research. She's got a couple master's degrees. She's super intelligent, and she's incredibly helpful.
Very good.
So blessed to have gone through those experiences, and that's why I like to share this with other people, because other people can benefit from her research and what these doctors have taught me. And I think it's great to spread this knowledge around, because you're certainly not going to get it from your big pharma, big health doctor. They're not going to tell you these things.
You know, here's the other thing too. And when I look at the chat and see different things, well, this doesn't work. This is a bunch of this particular product. One might say it's all BS. It's actually bad for you. This product, you know, I think people's bodies are different. They reacted to different things differently. You've got to know what you're deficient in, as you said.
Targeted approach, right?
Yeah, exactly. So become the, and you know what? If you don't want to do this, fine. Screw it. Don't do it. I'd love to have you around. You know, I certainly can't afford to lose viewers and listeners, but this is about more than us, more than me, more than you. And I had the occasion to think about this when I was down. This is not just, for example, about me. This is about my children, my grandchildren. This is about what I need to do for others. Okay. Yes. And I, you know, if I'm a burden on someone else, I cannot be a help to anyone.
Exactly. What's the first thing they teach in the Marine Corps? They teach you how to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have your act together, you can't help the guy in the foxhole next to you.
Exactly.
And that's the principle we're talking about. And, you know, are you going to be a burden to your family or are you going to be a blessing to your family? You know, and can everybody turn your health situation around? Maybe not. Maybe it's too late. But if you can, you should. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what is Make America Healthy about? If people can't turn the ship around and go a different direction, why do we even care?
And okay, so let's talk about that, because this Make America Healthy again. What surprises me, I maybe I'm not surprised, what really peeves me is a lot of people are resisting this agenda. You know, look how quickly in one case, and I don't recall if it was a cereal or if it was something else where they were able to switch from the red and yellow dyes to natural, I'm talking about beet juice and something else.
Of course.
They did it in a day.
Yes.
Well, yeah, why in the hell didn't they do it before?
Well, because the alternative was slightly more expensive in their profit motive. But, you know, a lot of these cereal companies, if you buy Honey Nut Cheerios in Europe, it's not made with the same stuff ours is.
Of course not. No.
It doesn't have the dyes. It doesn't have this, that, and the other. And, you know, I don't know the range of influence of all of these different poisons that we put in our body, but I think Kennedy was quite accurate when he said 60 years ago, we had X percentage of kids born with Down syndrome.
Yes.
And now it's one in every 32 children. The only way you can do that is autism. Or it might be autism. It was something that happened at birth.
Okay, you know? Because that number rings true to me with respect to autism.
Yes, maybe that's it. Maybe I said it wrong.
I do know that there was a mention about Down syndrome some time ago in a different context. Well, okay.
Well, the Down syndrome rate has risen dramatically as well.
It has.
It's not just autism. And so when you look at these things, what are the potentials? Poisons in the environment, poisons in the food, vaccines. I mean, these are the suspects, but you're going to have to scientifically be able to prove it. And I want to tell you about a fascinating study that was put out a couple of months ago, about 6-8 weeks ago. And it was a group of international scientists, and they were growing cancer tumors. And then they were trying to starve them to see how they could stop the growth. Well, when they cut off the oxygen to the cancer tumors, they still grew. And they figured out that the cancer replication at the cellular level, these cancer cells don't replicate based on an oxidative metabolism. It's a fermentation metabolism. that causes cancer cells to grow. You cut off the sugars or you break the chain of fermentation and the cancer stop growing, shrink, and die. The tumors do. This is no small thing to understand. And you will not hear that from an oncologist in a hospital, because half of them probably even haven't even read the research yet. But once you understand this, then these people that have saved their own lives with benazole and ivermectin, this is starting to make sense, because that interferes with the fermentation process in the body.
Ah, okay.
It affects the parasites and the bacteria, and it breaks the fermentation process. And I'm not saying it works for every type of cancer, but I'm saying that the cancer types that they tested all were fermentation metabolisms, not oxidative. And we think, as human beings, we breathe in oxygen and we breathe out carbon dioxide. And we think that everything that lives, bacteria, everything, uses oxygen. Not true. You can have cell replication fueled by a fermentation metabolism with no oxygen at all. And understanding that is a big deal to the cancer world. And so I was told today, a dear friend of mine, a doctor, has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Oh. I've been deep sea fishing with this guy. I've been hunting with him and his friends. He's bought rifles from me. I love this man. He's one of the most moral, decent Christian men I've ever known. And I found out today that he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And we had a long conversation about fenbendazole and ivermectin and what the downside risk was to doing something other than chemo, which will kill you.
Absolutely.
Stage 4 pancreatic cancer. So it was a really good conversation. And he surprised me. Not surprised me, I kind of figured, but he had done about 3/4 of the research that I had done. There was a couple areas that I mentioned to him that he wasn't familiar with that he's going to research now. But, you know, I fully expect this guy to outlive the doctors, the oncologist prediction by a factor of 10, because I have other friends that have had stage 4 pancreatic cancer and taken fenbendazole and ivermectin and lived. And they're still alive. And it's been years. So.
Well, we're fighting the Rockefeller. Yes. Model of medicine, which is, you know, hey, it's all about the money. It's all about, you know, keeping us sick.
What did Chris Rock say, the comedian? Sometimes they have real poignant things to say, like, they're not trying to heal you. They get you on the comeback. They're mining your wallet, right?
Yeah.
And right. So
I can't laugh. I'm sorry.
This is big medicine, big pharma. This is what they do. I mean, why do we have special courts? You know, you can't sue these pharmaceutical companies. It's almost impossible. Yeah. And you look at how the CDC took the MMR vaccine. They knew it was lethal to black babies and young black boys, and they kept that a secret for over 15 years. Finally, a whistleblower on the inside blew the whistle on them and exposed them. Ooh, I mean, the corruption is so bad.
And this goes back to what we started out with, and I want to kind of get back to that a little bit. You've got these, look, why in the hell isn't Fauci in jail? Okay. Or at least being charged. These auto pen pardons. I think the last of which was the Biden family, but within
the pardon. The pardon only works for federal crimes.
Right.
The states can charge Fauci and prosecute him. A state prosecutor, an attorney general, and our Missouri attorney general is looking at this. We've already sued him. for the state of Missouri, and we're now looking at prosecuting him. A federal pardon does not insulate you from state crimes.
I understand that. And it's okay.
If the New York District Attorney can charge Trump with a bunch of BS, you don't think a Missouri District Attorney or a Pennsylvania District Attorney can charge Fauci? I promise you they can.
Well, look at Cuomo, the former governor of New York, being referred to the DOJ for criminal. It was a criminal referral.
He murdered more grandparents than any governor in history.
Exactly. But again, you know, look, as an investigator, I can certainly create a solid case. But if the district attorney says, at least on my level, says, no, I'm not going to go after this, then at some point, and this is how I feel, okay, at some point then you put the paper and pen down and you pick up another implement and you take care of business yourself. And I'm afraid if the people like the attorneys general and others don't get on the ball, that's what's going to happen. And it's needless. We can actually get these people arrested. I mean, look at Virginia Guffrey. I'm all over the place on this. But that alleged suicide, okay? Did she commit suicide? Look, I wasn't there. I didn't study the case. I don't know. But it's... that, of course, that was Epstein's most visible victim. I don't know what happened, but damn it, we need the truth in all of this, and we need more than the truth. Exposing this stuff is just not going to do it. We need action against these people.
Yes, and that's on Pam Bondi's shoulders.
Yeah,
that's on Cash Patel and Pam Bondi's shoulder. The FBI is responsible for internal security. You know, traditionally, the CIA was responsible for external security. The FBI was responsible for internal security. There's a lot of overlap these days.
Yes.
But Cash Patel has probably got about 30 to 60 days to start a long list of perp walks, or this country's going to start screaming. And they should. You know, the first 100 days, people are patient. People being told, just be patient. We'll get it. You know, these things take time. And generally speaking, you know, John Moore brought this up this morning on the radio. He said, typically we like to arrest some of the lower level guys and get them to rat out the upper level guys.
That's good. Okay,
fine. Those are the guys we want. Yeah, but
fine.
Okay, so we haven't arrested any lower level guys.
Well, exactly.
Much less a Strzok or a Page or a Rosenstein that signed a bogus FISA warrant. You know, I mean, these guys, I mean, we already know about their crimes, and they lied about them under oath to the Congress and the Senate. So what is taking so long for some handcuffs and some perp walks?
Well, it's my understanding that Cash Patel moved all of his, weightlifting equipment into the FBI building and stuff. So I guess he's done with that. Pam Bondi is still stuck in the same air as Sean Hannity on Fox. So there's that. Maybe people ought to stop yapping their mouth and start
working.
Start working, exactly.
Well, have you noticed what Elon Musk said a couple weeks ago?
Which
he said,
which time?
So originally, Elon said, yeah, we're going to find easily $1 billion of waste with Doge. That's what he said. Then I think he was on a podcast, and he said, we've uncovered over $150 billion, but if I uncover all of it, they'll kill me. And then 5 days later, he was bowing out.
Oh, yeah.
I think somebody got to Elon is what I think.
Well, to me, the safest place to be for that would be disclose what you found to everybody. Do it right now. I mean,
I got the feeling that Elon felt like if he dug any harder than he was digging, they were going to kill him before he got the answers. And he's found a lot of corruption.
I can relate in yes. certain cases.
So, you know, it does take courageous heroes to even think big enough to attempt what these guys have attempted. And I'd be really sad if they backed off when we were so close to saving this country.
What's your prediction here?
Well, we're going to hit Iran in short order.
What about India, Pakistan? I don't know whether you heard the rumblings between India and Pakistan. Pakistan's threatening to nuke India. And then, of course, Iran, they're acting up. And so, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I think all of these things are valid threats. I think India and Pakistan have so much to lose in a nuclear conflict that it's likely not to happen. You'd have to have some really crazy people at the controls for that to happen. However, Iran, that's a level of crazy that would use a nuke. And unfortunately, Pakistan's, there's a gentleman called AQ Khan.
Oh, yeah.
Assisted Iran in developing their nuclear program.
Yeah, the flea market.
Assisted North Korea.
Yep.
You know, that's sort of the flea market of nuclear devices, right? And this guy should have been exterminated a long time ago, but our intelligence agencies weren't doing their job. So we're going to suffer because of those mistakes. You know, Trump is still suffering from the mistakes of his first administration. You look at the people that he put in his cabinet that weren't his friends, and you look at the recommendations for judges, hell, two of the four nationwide injunctions placed on him were his appointments last week.
Yeah.
So you look at this stuff, and there are consequences to poor decisions. And we're suffering from some of that. It doesn't make it impossible to fix this country, but I do think that you're going to see Israel, and with tremendous support from the United States, go after Iran's nuclear infrastructure here in the near term.
Okay.
All now, right. Will the market react to that? I'm sure they will. I'm sure the market will drop significantly on that deal. But it'll probably rebound fairly quickly. I don't see that as a 5-year problem. I see that as a 5-month problem. Right. So I think the biggest thing that's going to happen here in the near term is that Iran's going to have their nuclear infrastructure destroyed. And I sure hope they clean out a few clowns at the top with some cruise missiles when they do it, because we have the ability to do that. And if Iran doesn't play ball here in very short order, Israel's going to move, and we're going to back their play. Now, we have an item called the Mother of All Penetrators. This is a bomb that's so long that you have to stuff it in a B-2 diagonally because it won't fit straight. It has no propellant on it. We fly to really high altitudes and we drop this thing.
So it's all kinetic then?
Yeah, it's supersonic speeds.
Okay.
And the level that it will penetrate to hardened concrete is compartmented. It's classified. But I can tell you this, we have, let's just say 16 to 32 different fuse delay programs based on the type of terrain we want to penetrate. A lot of research has been done on this. It's a very sophisticated weapon. It was built by Boeing. And it is exactly the tool to go after Iran's infrastructure with. And Iran better realize that it may look like Israeli jets knocking out anti-aircraft and radar, but the thing that's going to penetrate to 1,000 feet underground and destroy their little secret, what they think are secret hiding places, which aren't, is going to be that MOP weapon. I promise you. Custom made for Iran.
Okay.
And it was actually being... The final tests were being done under the Obama administration, and Obama was highly concerned about Iran and was calling the test site on a twice a day. Are we ready yet? Are we ready yet? Are we ready yet? And because Obama's intention was to hit Iran's nuclear facilities with the MOP weapon. And it, like I said, it was custom made for Iran's underground nuclear infrastructure.
Well, that would beat anything nuclear, like the bunker busters that nuclear tipped, I guess. Some are.
We don't need nukes to destroy Iran's infrastructure on nukes. We don't need that.
No.
We just need stuff that can penetrate to the right depth and then go boom. And it's all about the fusing and the delay. That's how those systems work. So if you understand you're going through sand, you have a certain program on a fuse delay. And if you understand it's hardened concrete, then it's another delay. If it's 300 feet of sand, 200 feet of rock and hardened concrete, then we peck. Correct. With a couple in the same hole. And wow. Still get the job done. So that technology has been well vetted, well tested. It works. And Iran's about to get a whole buffet of that stuff.
Interesting. All right. So that's coming up in the near term, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I do believe we'll have trade deals done with at least 15 to 20 partners. Okay. By the middle of June, and we'll have a big, beautiful bill that Trump wants, even though I wish he'd done it differently. We'll probably have that by June 10th, I suspect. And then you'll see the market start to rebound and really take off, and a lot of the volatility will disappear. A lot of people
have trouble. Gold continue to go up, you think, or is it going to have a correction?
Gold will spike when we hit Iran for a few days, a few weeks. Right. Gold will go up, but it'll probably come back down. It probably won't stay up. I think with the economy, once we get the budget in place and we get a number of other things done, I think the place to have your money is the S&P 500 in a spider fund or an index fund. And I think you're going to way outperform gold.
Wow.
The S&P over the last 20 years has outperformed gold by 600%.
The gold has outperformed the S&P in the last 6 months by, I don't know.
Yeah, a little significant amount. But if you look at the midterm,
right,
or the long term, the S&P just smokes gold.
I just have a problem with anything stock related, S&P related. Yes. I have a problem with that.
Okay. Well, I would buy ammo rather than gold. A better alternative would be silver. So
silver's, yes.
We've talked about the ratio there. Why do we How do we know whether to buy gold or silver? We've talked about this before.
The ratio. Yeah.
Yeah. If the ratio is over 60 bucks, over 60 to 1, you buy silver.
Right.
If you divide the price per ounce of silver into the price per ounce of gold, and if the number is bigger than 60, then you buy silver. Right now, it's got to be 90 or 100.
Yeah, I mean, it's up there. Right.
Silver's a much better buy right now.
Oh, of course. And it's got, quite frankly, a lot of industrial applications to it. So it makes sense to do that. However, and also, watch what the President Trump does with respect to our currency. Are we going to have a silver gold backed currency like we once had? Is that coming back?
One of the things I wanted to ask you tonight was, whatever happened to all the talk about auditing Fort Knox?
Yeah.
What happened to that?
Well,
it disappeared off the map.
Yeah. Of course.
I thought Elon Musk and Donald were going to Fort Knox and taking videos. And you know, I heard about some gold moving from Europe back to the U.S., and I heard some gold moving from this place and that place back to the U.S., and then I never heard another word.
Yeah, and I don't believe you will either. But then what do I know? I'm just a lowly guy over here not knowing much of anything. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. Hey, a couple of things before, because we're almost out of time. Number one, folks, tomorrow will be dark and Friday will be dark. I'm coming out with you. I'm going to say that. I've got to take care of some issues, as you know. But I want to get back and get back in the saddle today. So tomorrow's going to be dark and Friday's going to be dark. I'm not going to be playing the shows. I'm not going to have a show. Wednesday and Thursday, back full bore. And I'm telling you, we're ready for it. And today I've got to thank Sam Andrews. Sam, please give out your deets where people can find you and contact you, complain about you, and do all that kind of stuff.
Sure, you can send all the hate mail to my Facebook page, and I'll read it, I promise you. I read feedback from people. I'm not scared of it. I had a command sergeant major for a dad. There's anything you could say to me that'll scare me. Even if you were face-to-face and you were yelling at me, my heart rate would be about 62. But been through that.
Right.
But you can read about our training facility at freedomtrain.net. And if you want to sign up for a class or you want to propose a date for a class, if you've got a group, you can give me a call at 417-718-2597. And just ask for Sam, and we'll talk about it. Before we take off, though, I promise to give the women a health tip.
Yes.
And so I learned this because my wife was anemic. When she lost all that weight, her iron levels dropped to dangerously low levels. And the doctor looked at her blood work and prescribed an iron supplement. And she started taking this iron supplement twice a day. Very high quality iron supplement, by the way. And her iron levels didn't really come up that much or come up quickly. And I have since started researching absorption of iron and these things. And there's two new studies up. Both of them, independent of each other, came to the same conclusion. When you take iron, your body absorbs that iron. If it's a high-quality iron supplement, it absorbs it. It uptakes it. And in the process, it produces a chemical to keep your body from uptaking any more iron for about 48 hours.
Oh.
So if you're taking iron every day, you're not getting any iron. You're getting 5% of what you're taking.
So, okay, we got 15 okay. seconds.
So the key is, if you're taking iron, if you're anemic, is to take it every other day or every third day. Your iron levels will come up much faster and you'll feel much better.
And I trust that would be the same for guys.